Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been many weeks in the book of Ephesians, full of rich truth for us as we apply our understanding and our lives to the Word of God and as the Holy Spirit applies those words to us. Jesus said, "It is finished." John 19, verse 30. And there's a Greek word that we've been talking about. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Now, so you are aware, there are different pronunciations of this word. Tetelestai. 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 But I think it's probably more akin to tetelestai. And what does it mean? It is finished. Jesus spoke from the cross. It is finished. Let me quickly summarize. What does it mean? Three applications in the Greek and the day Jesus went to the cross. Number one, you could go to the market, buy your produce, buy your belongings. They would give you a receipt. And across that front, they would write, tetelestai, paid in full. If you were, another use, if you were guilty of crime and they put you in their jail cells, they would post outside of your jail cell a list of the crimes you had committed and that for which you were found guilty. When you served your time, though, and you came out, you could never be retried for anything on that list, and they would write across the cover of that chart of crimes, tetelestai, sentence served. Paid in full, sentence served. And the third use, you recall when an army would go out and conquer the enemies, the conquering general would come back in riding in his chariot, and the enemies that were defeated would either be in front of them or marched behind him, and they would yell out, tetelestai, tetelestai. Mission accomplished. Paid in full, sentence served, mission accomplished. And from the cross of Calvary, Jesus yells out these words. In English, it is written, it is finished. But what he spoke was, tetelestai. Paid in full. Sentence served. Mission accomplished. Jesus finished what he had come to do. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Church, they did God's will. How do they do it? Well, they gave themselves to the Lord. But the important question that burns in our spirits this morning is, how do we do it? How do we accomplish this same thing? How do we live the real deal? We live those riches. Remember Paul in Ephesians 37 times, in Christ is found. And Christ is in you. You are in Christ. You are strong in the Lord. First three chapters, all about his equipping. Last three chapters about now that you know Christ is in you, let Christ out of you. Live this in a real way, in a practical way. So your neighbors see Jesus. So your block sees Jesus. So your community sees the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And wives, respect your husbands. And kids, obey your parents in the Lord, and slaves or employees, employers, love each other. Let this be real and change society one heartbeat at a time. You know the best evangelism method, right? One heartbeat at a time. One life at a time changed by the image of Jesus. And in Philippians, we learned another little word called sinceris. You remember that? Quick summation. What does sinceris mean? I've told it to you many times, but I think it's good truth to hold on to. When the Romans overran the Greek community of Philippi, it had been overseen by many people, but the Greeks were wonderful artisans. They had sculptures and they had busts and things that they had done. But the Romans were barbarian and they just decimated these people and the busts and statues were broken and shattered. Years later, when the Romans valued culture more, they put a high price on those busts and statues they could find. And so some artisans who were not of quality and character would take these pieces, and many of them had pieces missing. So they would fill in the broken pieces, missing pieces, with wax. So these Romans would pay top dollar. They'd bring it home. They'd put this thing up in their garden. Next hot day, guess what happened? Wax began to run out and holes began to show up, and you couldn't return that piece then. Truthful artisans began then to stamp their pieces sincerous, no wax. And Paul says, I want you to live this in a real way. I want you to have a sincere faith, genuine, real faith, sincerous. Church, no wax. Turn to each other and say, get the wax out. The battle, though, is in our minds. God's equipped us. We're to live the real deal, but the battle's in our minds. How many know billions of dollars are spent every year on self-help, basically trying to get people to believe they can do something, right? You can be everything. You can do everything. Well, the answer is, in Christ, you can be what He wants you to be. But people are discouraged. They're disheartened. They're downcast. People commit suicide tragically today. Many commit suicide after committing murder. The devil is a waster and a destroyer. The Bible says from the beginning, he was a liar, a thief, and a murderer. And how many know that the devil, when he leads you into sin, has nothing good in mind for you? Someone say amen. Amen. All he wants to do is destroy your life. So don't go into league with him. And the Bible says the devil accuses the brethren day and night. In Revelation, it tells us how to overcome him. How do they overcome him? Revelation, it's 12, verses 10 and 11, and it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How do we do this? By understanding that God has equipped us, knowing that Jesus has invested himself, he's poured himself into us, given us new hearts, new minds, he's helped us to stand together in the family of God. How many know church is important? Come on, I said, church is important. Look at each other and say, you know, you're really important to me. You're really important to me. Standing together, keeping rank as they did in the soldiering days, and keeping on the armor of God. Now, last week, we learned about putting on the belt of truth, and we learned about the breastplate of righteousness. We guard our hearts, we guard our minds by staying clean in the blood of Jesus and living in the truth of His Word, and how we walk and what we do is important. You know, there's not a Sunday life and a Monday life. You know that. Not in business, not in how you live at home, not when you pull out of here. You're not to be a different person. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we're learning to live more like Jesus. Amen? All right. So let's talk about several aspects this morning as we go into the Scripture, beginning in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, we're going to talk about your feet. Look down at your feet. Say, hello, feet. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Last week, we did the first two verses of this particular section where Paul encouraged, exhorted, taught, and instructed, put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave a piece at home. If you're getting ready to go out to battle, don't leave your sword at home. Don't leave stuff out when God says you need all of the armor. Now, a soldier wore in those days special sandals or military shoes that protected their feet without slowing the soldier down. Roman soldiers had special shoes made of soft leather but studded soles, like golf shoes. I'm looking at guys who should be smiling at me. Oh yeah, I can relate to that. Anyway, this allowed them to march farther and to march faster, as well as giving them a real agility and motion in the battle. They could dig in, they could hold their ground when they were in hand-to-hand combat. Now, when you go through this section of Scripture, in the Greek, you see Paul is really sincerely talking about hand-to-hand combat. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, demonic forces. We don't wrestle with people. We don't hate people. We love people. God loves people, but we hate the spirit that controls them. And we bind that spirit and we release the spirit of the Lord that their spirit will be responsive to Jesus. But literally, God wants your walk to be solid, So you don't have to have pain. You don't have to keep looking down. You don't have to stumble or limp or walk haltingly into the day. Be sure-footed as soldiers of the Lord, stable, confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're solid in the gospel, when you're solid in the Word of God, you've got the true gospel of peace. The Bible says, He is the way, the what? Truth and the life. The Bible says, Thy Word is truth. People can look at you all day long and say, well, you got your truth and my truth. But let me tell you, nothing but the truth is found right here. Now, we do understand it as best as we understand it. We keep growing. You know what? Some people say, well, how much can I get it away with and still be okay? Let me tell you a whole different way to look at that. If I'm not sure, how close can I get to Him? Then I know I'm okay. Amen? Good rule of interpretation. If I don't get it, I'm going to get as close to Him as I possibly can. Pastor Sherry's favorite verse. I'm going to get as close to Him as I possibly can. Sorry, my voice is still changing. I'm going to go as close to Him as I possibly can. Stay as close to Him, and then I know I'll be okay. All right, so what does this say? When you are battling for people's souls, you need to be able to share the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the Bible, and the good news of peace with God, restoration through what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, the blood shed. There's peace and joy in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Men's wisdom and philosophies are not going to answer the desperate cry of people's lives. Isn't that right? We got lots of philosophies loosed on the land. How many know they're not all true? The Bible says the feet and the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that speaks of your solid foundations as believers. I want to talk for just one moment more. You can never revisit the foundation stone truths enough in the Scriptures. Repentance and faith toward God and baptisms, etc. You go to Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. The Bible clearly teaches that if you want to go on as a disciple in the Lord, you must have your foundations in order. I watched a man, he's quite a preacher, he was on television this morning, and I only had time for just a quick couple of minutes, and I tuned in right as he said, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are trying to help a bunch of people mature who don't have any foundations in the Lord. You're never going to grow if you don't get your foundations down right in the Lord. We've got a program called Building Your Faith. Some people are like, it takes a long time. Get it into you and get you into it and get through it. We got everybody in the room who will help you go through it. Get your foundations in the Lord because that's how you're going to grow good fruit. How many want to grow great fruit? Get your foundations in the Lord. Be in the Word of God. Let the Word of God change your life. The preparation of the gospel of peace. When something comes to you as an opportunity from the Lord to help someone else, to pray for someone else, to give answers to someone else, have you prepared yourself to be able to give them the answer? Someone say amen or oh no. That's why we come to church, right? Understanding what the Word of God says. Hide it in my heart, Lord, so that I am prepared on a solid foundation. A soldier has preparation time. A believer has preparation time. So you're in spiritual condition. And then when the opportunities come, you can say, I'll take it, Lord. Come on, say that with me. I'll take it, Lord. Say it to others. I'll take it, Lord. All right. Your feet. Secondly, your faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Roman soldiers were equipped with large rectangular wooden shields. They were at least 4 feet high. Some texts say they were the size of a door. They were 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet high at the very least. The fronts of them were made with leather. Often they had a wood or an iron frame. And before battles, the leather would be wetted down in order to quench any fiery darts that would come flying toward them. Roman legionnaires closed ranks. Now, I don't have a picture to show you, but I want you to get this picture. They would stand close together. The front row would hold these shields forward. Now, listen to this. The ones behind them held the shields over the top of them. And they were virtually impenetrable to any attack from flaming arrows. They had a shield over them. They had a shield in front of them. How many think that might just be a picture of standing next to each other closely in the body of Christ, helping each other in our faith? Come on, anybody in this room ever have trouble with your faith? Ever have any doubts? Ever have any temptation? Come on, anybody in this room ever have any temptation? Some of you are looking at me like, sounds like you do, brother. You want to talk about it? We have problems we face in our life, but in the family of God, we stand with a shield over us. We stand with a shield in front of us. I'm looking at you saying, I'm standing with you, brother. You're looking at me going, I'm usually standing with you, Kevin. No, you're saying, I'm standing with you too. And here we are as family to encourage each other. Oh, watch out for that fiery dart. I want to encourage you, the Lord. Keep going after Jesus and get it. Are you in the Bible? Let's stand against every fiery dart. The ancient flaming arrow, or the fire dart, was made of cane with a flammable head. And they would light it, and then they'd shoot it, so the fire would set fire to wooden shields or cloth tents. That Greek word for flame means to kindle, to ignite, to inflame. Isn't that, church, listen, isn't that what temptation does? Kindles something inside. Whether it's anger, bitterness, lust, whatever it might be, something's kindled, something starts to burn inside. The dart, literally in the Greek, is missile or spear or arrow. The fiery darts were probably, the Greek word is phalarkia. Yeah, right, okay. We'll move on from there. Anyway, it had a head of lead in it about which some combustible things were placed. And again, they would set it on fire and shoot it through the air. It would oftentimes burn up the engines, the ships of the enemies. They were calculated so they'd stick and the flames would go. Some think, as you read commentaries on this, that poisoned arrows were intended. And they're fiery. Listen, and isn't this what temptation does when you sin? And don't look so holy at me. Every now and then, some of us in this room have sinned. Thank God for Jesus, right? Thank God for Jesus. Some think that those poisoned arrows were intended, they were fiery because the burning heat that was produced in the bodies of those who were wounded was a fiery, hot, horrific kind of burning. There's a picture of what sin does in a life. So they would stick on a shield. There were other kinds of shield that were metal on the front. They began to make them some with metal on the front so they couldn't stick. But the fiery darts of the devil are wicked, evil thoughts, strong injections. They are termed in such a way, and they're such a way that causes an inflaming, a passion, an excitement of soul. Something, whatever it is, lust, greed, envy, bitterness. For Christians, the Bible tells us the shield is our faith, our complete reliance on God. How many rely on Jesus here this morning? Come on, let's hear it again. How many rely on Jesus here this morning? So when the devil sends his fiery darts to temptation and doubt and wrath and lust, I just don't know if I can believe God. God's not big enough to help me in this. Hold up your shield and let those fiery darts fall off to the ground. Stop them by your faith in the Lord. Stand close to a brother or sister in Christ. Say, pray for me. I'm really in temptation, but I believe God's got the victory. And so we stand with that shield over us and that shield in front of us. And we need to live in such a way that you have nothing in your life which allow the fiery darts of the enemy to stick. There was a group of people in the Greek soldiering called hoplites. Say it with me, would you? Hoplites. They were Greek infantry. They would move with these tremendous shields. They would put them in front of them. And they stood protected shoulder to shoulder. The enemy would shoot everything they had at these big doors in front of them. And basically, when the enemy was out of ammo, they would move in at that point, certain of their victory. The devil will throw his darts, his temptations, and his tests at you, but God will give you the ability to quench them and total victory. Say, I have the victory. Your head. And take the helmet of salvation. Helmets were made of leather. They were made of brass. They were hot. They wouldn't put them on until they were going into battle. But they were made sometimes of bronze and iron, and no sword could pierce a good helmet. Isaiah 59 verse 17 tells us God wears a helmet of salvation. So we put on the helmet of salvation. Our minds are protected. Christians can stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. When the enemy, the devil, seeks to devour and destroy God's people with empty or impure or evil thoughts or whatever it might be, get us to doubt our salvation, doubt God's ability, we need to trust in the protection of the helmet that God has put on us. A mind of Christ. How many have the mind of Christ? Come on, how many have it? If you've given your life to the Lord, the Bible says He's given you the mind of Christ. It's one of the reasons why we come to church, to learn of His Word, have it engrafted into our hearts and into our minds. God protects us and promises He'll protect us. Guard your thoughts. Guard your heart. Watch over your thought life. Listen, church, some truth is really clear. Some error is very insidious. Subtle. Just a little bit misleading. How many would take a glass of water if it only had just a little bit of your dog's stuff in it? Okay, you don't have to hit me. That's graphic, isn't it? You wouldn't drink it. So, right. So too, we don't drink from that which is impure. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. But we have, say it with me, but we have the mind of Christ. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be, say it with me, please, powerful word, transformed. It literally in the Greek means transfigured, changed, metamorphosis. By, how do we have that transformation? By the renewing of your mind. In the Greek, it literally means the renovation of your intellect. Isn't that powerful? That means God's at work. He's changing our mind. That's what the word repentance means, by the way. You're walking away from God. You turn around. You change your mind is literally the meaning. And you walk away from that sin and back toward God. Why does He do this? Last couple of lines. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You change your mind. You change your life. Next, your sword. Your sword. Take, it says, Ephesians 6, verse 17, take, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand, this sword in the Greek is the word gladius. It was 20 to 24 inches long. This isn't one big monster device they were holding. It was a short thing, and it was used when the battle got close, hand-to-hand combat. Paul's ministry was completely unique and strategic, because it included close-range battle advancing into the enemy's ranks. Now, what we're talking about is spiritual warfare. We love people, but the Bible says we rebuke and take authority over principalities and powers that have affected people's thoughts and minds. And we're waging warfare for this whole region. How many know there's some spiritual warfare to be done around here? State of Washington, the United States, around the world. We want to have great victory for the Lord. This refers to the short sword used in close combat. Do you know that the Roman military in this day was called the short swords? And it was because of the use of their short swords. They invented them. They were absolutely dynamic to making them invincible. And it made it perfect for the cut and thrust strategy. It was double-edged. And how many know the Bible says His word is a two-edged sword. The Spirit makes the Word of God effective as we receive it. Now listen. There's penetrating power. There's a sharp edge. When the devil comes against you with temptations, distractions, discouragement, you need to pull out your sharp sword in the Lord and thrust Him through with the truth of the Word of God and tell Him to get back to the pit of hell where He belongs. That Jesus has victory for you. That you are washed clean. That you're His daughter, His son. That you belong to the Lord. Jesus used the Word of God to overcome the devil's temptations. Remember the wilderness? A Roman soldier would take his short sword in his hand and it was his only offense weapon. It was his only offense weapon. And the Bible says the sword given by the Spirit, and literally, church, that word, the word of God, is the rhema of God. There's the written word, which is the Greek word logos or logos. There's that word which you hear preached, quickened into your spirit. The Spirit of God applies it to your life. You know how sometimes you just know God's dropped something into your heart. You read a scripture and all of a sudden, wow, that's for me today. That's when the Holy Spirit blows on it and He's made it a living rhema word for you. He says, you want to have victory? Use the living word God has spoken to your heart. The living word. The rhema. When God utters it, it's truth. When God speaks it, it's truth. When it's in the Word of God, that's where the truth is found. God will speak to your heart for the word of victory you need right at that moment. Listen to the Holy Spirit. When the devil tries to tempt you and come against you, you have the power to send him on retreat. The only offensive weapon. Do you realize, as you go through this list, and I'm going to wrap it up here in a few minutes, but when you go through this list, do you realize none of this equipment is designed for a retreating Christian soldier? Because the Christian soldier doesn't retreat. We go forward with the victory of the Lord. We're not going to turn tail and run now, right?
No.
Jesus has the victory. Turn to each other and say, Jesus has the victory. Next point, your prayer. Your prayer. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We take the Word of God, which the Bible says is the sword of the Spirit. We pray at all times. On every occasion, we're praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means the Spirit helps us when we pray. The Spirit prays on our behalf. The Spirit makes God accessible. The Spirit gives us confidence when we pray. He inspires us and guides us when we pray. He helps us communicate with God, and He restores and brings God's responses to us. God says, pray in the Spirit, pray in the understanding also. There's a baptism called a baptism in the Holy Spirit. The most common sign in the Scripture, it's in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, don't do it. If it's in the Bible, do everything that's in the Bible. And then He says, there's a gift, a prayer language that comes. It's the most common resulting sign of receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Speak in other tongues, speak in English. Let your prayer be heard, and God will show you what to pray and guide you through it. How many have ever had a time where you've wakened in the middle of the night and you have a burden for a member of your family or a friend? How many have ever prayed those kind of prayers for anybody in this room? Let's see the show of hands. Look at that. See, that's how the Holy Spirit moves. He guides us in warfare and intercession for one another. We all need that kind of prayer. That's what being part of the family of God's all about. Aren't you glad? The soldiers had to stand together in battle formation, and they covered one another and moved as a solid unit. A Roman soldier by himself was vulnerable, and they could come along and send a fiery dart and a flaming arrow. But the Bible says, watch, be alert. And that's also military language. Prayer in the Spirit, inspired prayer, standing together. Stay alert, pray consistently and constantly for each other. Now let's come to some final concluding thoughts in the book of Ephesians. Verses 19 through 24. Take a look at it in your word. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Paul says, I want you to be praying in the Spirit. I want you to stand together. I want you to use the armor. Oh, and by the way, verse 19, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. Tychicus, church, was the pastor at the church of Ephesus, this very letter we're reading through. He was the pastor of that church, and those sons and daughters in the faith had heard that Paul was in prison. prison. They were grieved. They were concerned. They were discouraged about how he was doing. And Tychicus goes to see him to carry the love of this family to this spiritual father in the Lord. And the spiritual father says, I'm doing all right. The gospel's going forward. People all around me are getting saved. And the guards who are chained to me, I'm leading them to the Lord. And I want you to go back home, Tychicus, to my brothers and sisters, to my sons and daughters in the faith. And I want you to tell them, though I'm restricted in this place, that the gospel's going forth. And that they can stand strong in the Lord. That they know how to walk in victory. Let them know they're invested. They've got the riches in Christ in them. And I don't know, Paul might say, how my life's going to end up. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But I want you to know, I love you. I stand with you. Keep going. Keep going. You're soldiers of the Lord equipped in God's battle plan. Whom I sent to you for this very purpose, verse 22, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren in love, meaning in the New American Standard, incorruptible love, NIV, undying love, with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. We finish this book as we began. Bathed in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. In chains or out, Paul is triumphant in Christ. And he's saying, my sons, my daughters in the Lord, you be the same way. He loves these people. He'd spent 3 years with them, changed the whole known world. Now he's in prison because of the same Jesus he taught them how to love. He says, add to your faith right living, real living, in the armor of God. Fight the good fight. Put on the armor. Know that you're loved, that you're equipped, that you can do it. You can run this race. You can finish the fight. Having done all, church, stand. And Paul says to his sons and daughters in the faith, by the grace of God, we will come through these days. We will see him again face to face, and we'll all be together for all of eternity. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Say it with me again. Tetelestai. One more time. Tetelestai. And the apostle says, if you'll do these things, my sons and my daughters, then it's finished. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? Go to the last song we did in Kib G. For he alone is worthy. Lord, we thank you that these weeks we've had together in the book of Ephesians have been rich. That our lives and faith have been strengthened by such a precious apostle. People misunderstand and denigrate Paul. But Lord, we're so grateful that you saved him. And that you invested so much in him. Thank you, Lord, for though he was caught up in a little cell, in a little jail cell, he still sent forth your word and you spread it through the known world. Thank you, Lord, to tell us God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And you declared it finished. Now we know what we've got inside of us and we'll live it out in the real way. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. If you're here this morning, you've never surrendered your life personally to Jesus, I urge you, this is your day to do so. If you want a free release in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, come on up front. We'll be honored to pray with you. Come up if you want to give your life to Jesus. Come on up if you need prayer for healing in your body. But we're going to celebrate and keep on celebrating for what he has put inside of us. Amen.